The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome to your Friday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo, produced by Joe Sebilia, with news guy Al Gattulo, and traffic with Debbie Duhame. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970. The Answer.
Welcome back to the Joe Piscopo Show on this Friday. Happy Friday to you all as we go into our final hour this morning and a power-packed show today. And my next guest is no exception. Here to walk us through what a potential battle for the chairmanship could look like in terms of policies and voting procedures. And, you know, I like to bring these experts on to talk with those of us who aren't inside the stratosphere of the Republican National Committee and these, you know, organizations that have the bylaws and the rules. And here to break it all down for us is my friend from the state of Oklahoma, Pam Pollard, RNC committee woman for the state of Oklahoma. And I'm told she is a new Joe Piscopo Show favorite. In fact, Joe Piscopo told me last time I talked to him, he said, "We have people dialing into the show from Oklahoma." And I credit my next guest for that. So, Pam Pollard, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you this morning, Jen.
Hey, so there is a battle afoot, potentially, for the chairmanship of the RNC. And it's been in the news that, you know, Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow.com, wants to throw his hat into the ring. Lee Zeldin, who is very popular here in the state of New York, also considering throwing his hat into the ring, according to public reports. Harmeet Dhillon, one of your fellow RNC committee members, even coming out yesterday with some constructive suggestions about, you know, no matter who the RNC chair is, what they need to focus on so that we can all win in 2024. Walk us through a little bit, because I know you can't really say, you know, who you support, don't support. Walk us through just the rules of how this chairmanship is going to be voted on. What is the deadline for people who want to put their hat into the ring for this? And what is the deadline for this battle, you know, sort of coming to a head?
Well, it has a potential of being a very dull election, and it has a potential to be a very exciting election. As you know, our current chair has released a list of endorsements of 102 RNC members. So a lot of people think that she already has it won, has it sewn up. But I think the reason we're seeing so many names pop up is that America, let's say conservatives, they're not happy with what's gone on with elections all the way back to 2000. They're especially 2020. There's so many things. Every year it seems like there's some major issue with our elections. And I think the 2020 elections was the straw that broke the camel's back. We all know we have they call election deniers, other people who just say the process has become flawed. There's, you know, people, they've changed laws because of COVID that that did a lot of things to our election system that people are losing confidence in it. So they look to the political arm of our government, which is the political party, in our case, the RNC, the Republican National Committee. So our rules say that every January of every odd-numbered year, we shall hold election of officers. Now, we have a chair and a co-chair, not a chair and a vice chair. A chair and a co-chair are elected by the members of the Republican National Committee. Now, they do not have to be members of the RNC. They can be any registered Republican.
Interesting.
In the entire, in the country and our five recognized territories. But the other two officers are secretary and treasurer, and they must be a member. So one of the sitting, we call them the 168, there's a national committee man, a national committee woman, and a Republican Party state chair from all three states and our six territories. So those, you know, 50 times 3 plus 6 and 3 is 18. That's how we get to that 168 voting members of the Republican National Committee. So tremendous amount of talk going on out there. I think that we're, I'm hearing that Lee is going to make a formal announcement next week after the Georgia elections. I think Harmeet is going to be making her formal announcement soon. Mike Lindell already said, I'm running no matter what. He's going to run. I've also heard Mercedes Schlapp is considering running.
Wow. Now that would be interesting. Look, all of these names are people who have shown success in their own right. Lee Zeldin, of course, fell a little bit short of the governorship, but helped sweep in those states north of the city. You know, the four seats that we were able to pick up in New York. Harmeet, in her own right, has fought for First Amendment rights and fought against the lockdown. So she was one of the cases we talked about and that we booked Harmeet on was the hair salon case in San Francisco. Remember, Nancy Pelosi went to get her hair cut after she closed all the, you know, supported closing all the salons in San Francisco. So Harmeet definitely has, boy, both the media chops and the legal chops to do that. What is Rana's biggest attribute, do you think? Is it because she's in the position as the incumbent? She knows her way around. There would be very little, you know, chaos and turnover. What are people talking about out there about kind of the pros and cons of each of these people who might throw their hat into the ring?
Well, I'd have to say, in for Rana's case or any incumbent going through what we've been through since the 2020 elections, and I will say Rana is a former Michigan party chairman, state party chairman. She's also served as Michigan National Committee woman. So she has the experience of being a member of the committee, knowing what we do, knowing the strategy, and not a tremendous amount of campaign strategy, because we don't get into a lot of the, well, you should promote this issue over this issue. We do a lot of the stuff that a lot of people don't know about. Let me say the scientific side of campaigning. That is really boring to a lot of people. But if you don't have it, you will lose an election. I've got a voter identification to know who our voters are, who our supporters are, based on the issue du jour. So by Rana having that experience on the committee and then having the last, you know, 6 years in as 4 years for sure in as our chairman, people almost don't want to change because of the institutional knowledge of what she has learned of what works, what doesn't work in specific areas, specific states. Remember, and this is a bone of contention, but there's a solution. All 50 states have the constitutional authority to make their own voting laws. If you don't want that to happen, if you don't like ballot harvesting in this state, if you don't like early voting in that state, just remember, Nancy Pelosi offered a solution in H.R. 1.
Mm-hmm.
So your choice is to go through H.R. 1, which none of us want to federalize and put the federal government and whoever's in power for this 2-year cycle, put them in charge of our elections, or let every state do their own thing. But it takes a tremendous amount of knowledge to institutional knowledge to be able to get on the ground running. And remember, presidential campaigns are already starting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To bring in somebody new, a lot of members are thinking this, to bring in somebody brand new that would have to have such a learning curve, to bring them in to get us up to speed in less than 6 months, there's going to be a presidential debate. Remember, the RNC, the Republican National Committee, voted unanimously to withdraw from the Presidential Debate Commission.
That's right.
Our candidates are not going to participate. So that means we're doing our own presidential debate. I'm telling you, one is already scheduled for later this year.
Yep. Well, that is so interesting. That certainly makes the case for Ronna McDaniel, except for maybe if you have somebody like a Mercedes Schlapp who has run a full other organization like CPAC, the American Conservative Union. So I could see possible case for Mercedes Schlapp, too. Very interesting. Last question while we have you, Pam. What does that actual election look like? I know you're holding the elections end of January in California. Does someone have to nominate somebody from the floor and then it goes to different rounds? I heard these can get pretty rowdy. What is that election for the RNC chairmanship going to look like?
Yes, there is no rule about any prior notification. So you don't have to do anything 30 days prior. Nominations from the floor with a second. It is by a secret ballot, and somebody must get, our rules say it must be a majority. So somebody has to get 50% plus one vote in order to be declared the winner. So if we've got four or five candidates, then we will make the rules on that. It will be the rules committee will make the rule. Let me just throw this out there for theory, that the bottom person drops off.
Mm-hmm.
So the second round will be the four remaining people minus the lowest one. If nobody gets 50%, then the next, then the next, then the next, and it goes on. I was told Reince Priebus was elected on the seventh round of voting.
Yeah.
So it's going to get very, very interesting. Let me say real quickly that institutional knowledge, the 168 have a tremendous amount of institutional knowledge. We need to understand that there are professionals out there that can come in and help the RNC, can help whoever the chairman is going to be. We just have to understand the importance of that institutional knowledge. Somebody like Lee Zeldin could come in, good managerial, Mercedes Schlapp, Mike Lindell's name is out there, come in, have managerial experience, tap into the people with experience, and could be up and going. So It's open door. It's open door for whoever wants to try to win the votes of the majority of 168 members coming up in January.
So exciting. And I tell you what, a lot of people don't get excited about the wonkiness, you know, of parliamentary procedure and all those things. But this is exciting. It impacts all of us for 2024, not just Republicans, but freedom loving Americans who want to make sure that the next elections are free and fair. And a lot of that's going to hinge on how aggressive the next RNC chair is. Pam Pollard, Republican National Committee woman from the state of Oklahoma. You are such a wealth of knowledge. Thank you for coming on this morning and breaking that all down for us. We'll keep an eye on that for January.
Have a great day.
Hey,
Happy holidays.
Thank you so much. You too. Merry Christmas. All right. Well, you heard it there. That's how the battle for the RNC chairmanship is going to go. Great reminder there. Reince Priebus was elected on the seventh round of that election on the floor of the RNC committee meeting. So that's going to be definitely one to watch. Well, something else to watch is the traffic this morning on this Friday holiday weekday. And for that, we'll go over to Janelle Crispin.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Slow go on the Grand Central eastbound after 168th Street because of a crash blocking two left lanes. And that's jamming things up on the Jackie Robinson Parkway, also on the Van Wyck. Northbound on the Van Wyck, slow Rockaway Boulevard up to Jamaica Avenue and the Harlem River Drive. Southbound, the 3rd Avenue Bridge down to 125th. That's slow. And the Cross Bronx, that's slow. White Plains Road out to Sheridan Boulevard and eastbound the GW Bridge out to the Sheridan. GW Bridge inbound on the upper deck, a 5 to 10 minute delay. No waiting on the lower level. Outbound, we've got construction on the upper deck. Lincoln Tunnel, you're fine. Holland Tunnel 2 from the Turnpike approach. Still about a 15 to 20 backup if you use the 19 approach. 22, Route 22 westbound into Warrenville Road in Greenbrook. There was a crash. It's been cleared away. All lanes have been reopened. We do have slow going on the Cross County eastbound into Columbus Avenue in Mount Vernon because of a crash. You now know where not to go. I'm Chanel Crispin with Joe Piscopo, AM 970, The Answer.
Dennis Prager says we need to work out more.
The ease with which people calm their conscience is almost infinite. Very few people who do bad have a guilty conscience. The conscience, even more than muscles, must be developed or you lose them.
The Dennis Prager Show. Weekdays at 1, right before Sebastian Gorka at 3 on AM 970. The Answer.
Hey, Joe on the radio, let me tell you about Reggie, who lives in Florida. He's got a lot of pain, came by it from just getting older, honestly, you know how it goes, pain, stiffness, you know, and then rinse and repeat every day when you wake up, right? You get the same thing. Well, the difference is Reggie decided he wasn't going to put up with that. So he'd heard about 100% drug-free Relief Factor and gave it a try. 4 days later, he was already starting to feel better. Only 4 days already working. For me, it was 5 days with a 3-week quick start. Hundreds of thousands of others have tried Relief Factor, and about 70% have gone on to order more. Are you in pain? You're in pain, right? A little bit. Wouldn't you like to get rid of it? Get out of pain like I did? Well, your first step to becoming pain-free just might be to order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. You go to relieffactor.com or you call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF to hear more about this offer. We want you to feel the difference with Relief Factor at relieffactor.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Get ready for a special AM 970 The Answer crossover. On Tuesday, December 6th, AM 970 will be coming to you live from the famous Red Steps in Times Square as Arthur Idala Power Hour and Radio Night Live's Fun Friday teams join forces for a fantastic show with the latest news on what to see, eat, and do in Times Square. With special guests from the NYPD, Broadway, Times Square's fabulous restaurants and bars, and more, make sure to visit us or tune in to AM 970 from 6 to 8 p.m. on December 6th. Acclaimed attorney Arthur Idala and celebrated radio host Kevin McCullough will join New York's First Lady of Hospitality, Christine Nicholas, and Times Square's very own T-Square, Tom Harris, president of the Times Square Alliance, for a special 2-hour live broadcast for Times Square Tuesday. With special guests from the NYPD, Broadway, Times Square's fabulous restaurants and bars, and more, make sure to visit us or tune in to AM 970 from 6 to 8 p.m. on December 6th for a show you don't want to miss.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Under the visionary leadership of Mayor Mike Spano, Yonkers is undergoing a remarkable economic renaissance unprecedented in its history. A key to the city's success is the Yonkers Industrial Development Agency. The IDA has provided financial incentives for development projects representing nearly $5 billion in private investment and more than 9,100 multifamily units planned, completed, under construction, and approved for development. And now, thanks to IDA incentives, Yonkers is home to Lionsgate $100 million state-of-the-art TV and film studio complex, the largest facility of its kind in the Northeast. With more film studios waiting in the wings, Yonkers has become Hollywood on Hudson, a new center for TV and film production with potential of bringing thousands of new jobs. To learn more, visit yonkersida.com or call 914-509-8651. 914-509-8651.
The Relief Factor Pain-Free Studio. Say goodbye to pain and hello to relief with Relief Factor today.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Coming up at 3 on AM 970. The Answer.
Welcome back to the Joe Piscopo Show. I'm Jen Kern sitting in for Joe Piscopo this morning. And we are wishing you all a very happy Friday. And for those of you who are interested in what they call football across the pond, I think the World Cup is going to be airing tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. New York time, for those of you who are soccer fans. And my next guest has an interesting take on the World Cup. She has a new piece in the Washington Times called World Cup, More Like the China Cup. And she is here today to talk with us about the Chinese influence over one of the great world sports. Cheryl Chumley, opinion editor at the Washington Times. Cheryl, welcome to the show.
Jen, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
Well, thank you so much. I feel like we just chatted as well. I was on your podcast, Bold and Blunt, a product of the Washington Times, and such a great podcast. I encourage everybody in New York City to check it out. You have a piece in your publication, the Washington Times, about the World Cup that's coming to its finale tomorrow. You say it really should be called the China Cup. Why is that?
Well, if you look at the sponsors and partners, there are 16 official sponsors and partners of this World Cup this year, and six of them are Chinese companies. And, by itself, no big deal, right? But it's been all about China's growing influence in America and on the world stage for the last couple of years. And yet, this is just yet another example of how China is infiltrating areas of society and culture that normally, a few years ago, it wouldn't have been part of.
Yeah, that's so true. Doesn't it amaze you that whenever Saudi Arabia is involved in sponsoring something like the, LIV golf tournament, or whenever, Qatar is sponsoring something, the left just goes absolutely nuts. But you don't see many people on the left complaining or even raising questions about China's sponsorship of things. Isn't that something to be concerned about?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? To be fair, it's not just the Democrat Party. It's not just leftists. There are an alarming number of Republicans who are silent on China as well. And part of that is because of the big business sellout to China, right? We're all watching the headlines of Apple and Tim Cook and so forth. And we've all seen through the months about the NBA changing its narrative and so forth on Taiwan and silencing players when they want to speak out in defense of Taiwan. But the problem here is that there are too many in America that are turning blind eyes to the growing Chinese influence domestically and around the world. And what's happening is China is quickly becoming the leader of the world, the leader of influence among world powers. And America is slowly, and maybe even not so slowly, receding from that role.
Yeah, that does seem to be the case. I noticed another one of your pieces that's up at the Washington Times. I've not seen this covered anywhere else but through you, and I want to talk about how the climate change activists, if I could switch gears for a minute, are seeking to slice the carbon footprint of hospitals, suggesting that hospitals and emergency rooms and surgery centers are taking up too much, power generation and electricity. What are these people thinking? I mean, they're going after the heart of what keeps people healthy and alive. And given especially what we just went through with the pandemic, you would think that they would have a little bit more sense to this, to tell hospitals basically to turn their lights off. What exactly is going on here?
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy, isn't it? And I'm surprised it's not actually becoming more and more covered by the media. The radical environmentalism that, of course, we're all aware of, right? They're coming for everything. They're coming from our, for our cars and so forth, for even what we eat, meat and so forth, trying to get us to eat insects because it's better for the environment. Well, the latest now is they're looking at emergency rooms and surgical rooms in hospitals to try and reduce the carbon footprint of what takes place in operating rooms. And if you're a patient, if you have a loved one, whoever has to go into the hospital for surgery, the last thing you want on your doctor's minds is ways to cut corners to save the carbon footprint. It's ridiculous. I don't know of any safety issues that have cropped because of this, but it's something that we have to keep an eye on because these radical environmentalists put their environmental causes above that for their love of humanity. And that's the ultimate danger.
It really is. And look, to suggest that, you have to have, dark hours for emergency operating room. I mean, this is just insanity. This is, sort of a different way of getting at the death panels, but through radical environmentalism. Speaking of radicals, I want to talk about another piece you wrote in The Washington Times this week, and that is that China's COVID-19 lockdowns are a warning to Americans. I know you've written a book about this, about how our government took away our freedoms during lockdown. And you say that the China situation, these protests, are really a warning to the American government. What is that?
Yeah, well, I've noticed in the media that the coverage has really focused on the protesters and making the case that protesters are rising up against the tyranny of China. But when I was looking at the protest movement in China, I saw it sort of the other way, as more a warning for America that as China goes with its zero tolerance policies and so forth for COVID test positives and using that to justify continuing lockdowns of the citizens there, so too America could return if we aren't aware of how influential China's policies, China's COVID policies have been on the bureaucrats here in America. Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, the leading voices that have influenced how America reacts and responds to COVID in this country are all on board with what China does. And if it's not China, it's what Australia did with similar lockdowns of its citizens. So if we think that, well, that's taking place in China, such lockdowns would never occur again in America, we have to think again, because the leading bureaucrats that have the most influence and the most powerful voices in America dealing with COVID policy, the ones that this Joe Biden administration listened to, they would love to see similar type provisions in America.
Yeah, that is so true. And you have to love the reporters on the conservative side anyway, asking Tim Cook yesterday about why he allowed Apple to, you know, in essence, censor the citizens of China and squelch their free speech. I mean, this is you're right. This is what corporate America supports. And it's crazy. Last question. You wrote a piece a while back called Elon Musk will be as hated by the leftists as Trump is. And boy, weren't you right about that. You were so prescient. I think that Elon Musk is their new punching bag, their new boogeyman. What do you think of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because if you remember Donald Trump, before he announced a decision to run for the White House, he was largely loved by leftists, right?
Right.
His wife was fawned over by New York elite for her beauty and her intelligence and so forth. Donald Trump was loved by black society as well as many in the, you know, white society. There was no differences between the love of political parties.
He was hosting a show on NBC. I mean, it doesn't get more liberal than that.
Yeah, and now here comes Musk. He was loved by the left, and now that he's taken over Twitter and is actually opening the platform for all kinds of different speech, he's being hated just as much as Donald Trump has been hated.
Yeah, it really is amazing. It's entertaining to watch, but at the same time, it's also very, very sad, and it's a sad statement on our society and the status of the left wing of the Democrat Party today. Well, Cheryl Chumley, where can people find your work? How can they follow you on social media?
Thanks. WashingtonTimes.com, CherylChumley.com, at Twitter at CK Chumley. Thank you, Jen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for dropping in this Friday, and you have a great weekend and happy holidays.
Yeah, you too. Bye now.
All right, thanks. I love Cheryl. She just is a wealth of knowledge on a range of topics. And I'm so glad on this Friday, December 2nd, we just started saying happy holidays. So I guess it's time.
Yeah, but, you know, Merry Christmas, too. I just bought an ugly sweater for $6. That says happy holidays and it's crossed out, and on the bottom of it it says Merry Christmas.
Love
oh, that's
it.
Nice.
Love
I'm like, for $6.50, I don't care. I could get one wash and be shrunk up to a half shirt. I'm
or
fine
sleep
with
in
that.
It. Have
yeah,
it,
exactly.
Like your sleeping t-shirt.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Well, I love it. Well, Merry Christmas to everyone out there. And boy, can't believe it's already Friday, December 2nd.
I know, 23 days.
And 23 it's days, that's
yeah, I was thinking about that. That's terrifying. I haven't even started my shopping
but
yet.
But it seems like September rolled around and we kind of blinked, and all of a sudden, like, fall just blew past, and now winter. I know winter isn't until the end of the month, but I guess the
yeah.
little bits of cold that we've experienced, and it's like, uh-oh, we've got three more months of this. You know, this,
uh-huh.
this stuff. I don't like it. So.
Yeah, we're in for it. Well, speaking of being in for it, let's go to Al for some news.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970. The Answer.
36 and sunny at 9:35. I'm Al Catullo with local news first. Here's what's going on. A brand new state-of-the-art telescope has been installed at Stockton University's Harold E. Taylor Observatory. The new technology features a 17-inch mirror that experts say will help better navigate the stars. The cost of the telescope was floated through donations to the tune of roughly $50,000. Officials close to the observatory are saying the COVID pandemic slowed down the building process for the telescope to 18 months. Indiana Jones, he's back. A trailer finally being released for the fifth installment of the film series, along with an official title. This happened yesterday, that trailer for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, which shows Indy being sucked into another adventure against villains played by Mads Mikkelsen and Antonio Banderas. Phoebe Waller-Bridge will play the role of Indy's goddaughter. The movie will likely be the last for the 80-year-old Harrison Ford, as well as 90-year-old composer John Williams, who wrote music for Indiana Jones, Star Wars, Harry Potter, and more. In sports, the Devils, unable to extend their winning streak to four games after falling 4-3 to the Nashville Predators in overtime. New Jersey now leading the NHL with 39 points. They'll visit the Philadelphia Flyers tomorrow night. Stuck in traffic, Janelle Crispin's got the answer.
It's pretty heavy on 440. We have southbound into the turnpike, an accident. One lane is blocked. Looks like delays at the GW Bridge inbound side of east out. Outbound on the upper deck, there's road work blocking the right lane on the ramp from the Henry Hudson Parkway. Cross the span and the left lane on the ramp to the Palisades Parkway. That's in place until about 1:30 this afternoon. Pretty quiet at the Lincoln Tunnel in and out of town. Holland Tunnel, you're okay if you use the turnpike approach into town. 15 to 20 minutes from the 19 approach. In Mount Vernon, the cross County eastbound into Columbus Avenue. Still have a crash in the express lanes. The left lane is blocked. That's causing delays. Van Wyck Expressway, very heavy. Northbound Rockaway Boulevard up to Jamaica Avenue. And southbound, very slow. Horace Harding Boulevard down to Atlantic Avenue. The LIE in Lake Ronkonkoma westbound into exit 60. There's a disabled vehicle. The left lane is blocked. Alternate side of the street parking rules in effect. You now know where not to go. I'm Chanel Crispin with Joe Piscopo. AM 970, The Answer.
Sponsored by Dell Small Business. Dell's Cyber Monday business event starts now with up to 50% off business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Plus, savings on essential accessories and free shipping. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
MyPillow is having their biggest bed sheet sale ever. The MyPillow Percale sheets are available in a variety of colors and all sizes. Now on sale, for example, the queen size, regular price $89.98, now only $39.98 with your promo code. Order now, as there is a very limited supply. The MyPillow Percale sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They have deep pockets to fit over any mattress. The MyPillow Percale sheets come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use promo code AM970 to receive the MyPillow Percale sheets for as low as $29.98. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-651-0798. Use the promo code AM970. That's 800-651-0798. 800-651-0798. Use the promo code AM970. Have you ever had a legal question about elder law or estate law? Every Wednesday night during Kevin McCullough's show, you'll hear from Mike Connors himself of Connors & Sullivan, attorneys at law, answering real listener questions. Simply email that question to askmikeconnors@gmail.com or call Mike's office at 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500. And don't forget to tune in to Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on AM 970 The Answer and Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. on AM 570 The Mission.
Orange basketball visits Notre Dame Saturday to play the ACC opener for both. Hi, I'm Matt Park. Join us Saturday morning for Orange pregame at 11:30. Tip off at noon on AM 970 The Answer. New York's home for Syracuse University basketball.
Hey, Joe Piscopo on the radio. Michael's of Brooklyn is where you got to go. It's right there on Avenue R and O Street in Brooklyn, New York. Here's the number, because everybody's going, and I want you to be able to get a reservation there. 718-998-7851. 718-998-7851. Michael's of Brooklyn. You go to michaelsofbrooklyn.com. You can join their Sauce of the Month Club. If you're around the country listening, you know you can go to the supermarket, pick up Michael's of Brooklyn. Everybody, and I mean everybody, I text pictures out. or I tweet them out, there's people will send me pictures of Michaels of Brooklyn, and then they stock up with Michaels of Brooklyn, which is great. We appreciate it. You're going to love it. The Arrabbiata Puttanesca, fresh marinara, Michaels of Brooklyn. But call if you're going to go, and you want to go. Fred is there, and Johnny and Marianne and Michael and the great family is there, right there on Avenue R and Nostrand in the great borough of Brooklyn, New York, baby. 718-998-7851. Michaels of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
The Relief Factor Pain-Free Studio. Say goodbye to pain and hello to relief with Relief Factor today.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Coming up at 3 on AM 970. The Answer.
Welcome back to the Joe Piscopo Show. I'm Jen Kearns, sitting in for the big guy today. We appreciate you being along on this Friday. And I can't believe it's December 2nd already. Where does the time go? Well, we're so grateful to have the time of our next guest. Nicholas Giordano is a professor of political science at Suffolk Community College. And he's also the host of the PAS Report podcast. And he's also a fellow at Campus Reform's Higher Education Fellowship. And we welcome to the show Nicholas Giordano.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks for being here. We've seen you a few times on the Tucker Carlson show, Tucker Carlson Tonight on Fox News, and we knew we just had to have you come on and talk about this. You talk a lot about the future of Biden's student debt forgiveness plan. Joe Biden had a really bad week this week regarding that, didn't he?
He certainly did. I mean, we see multiple federal courts blocking the program. It doesn't look like it's going to go through. It is thoroughly unconstitutional. But Biden achieved his goal. He did get the votes of the younger people, and that may have been the intent of just the announcement. He knew it was unconstitutional, and he couldn't spend this money because only Congress can authorize the appropriation of money for these types of programs.
Right. How right you are. It doesn't really matter, then, that the court struck it down. You're right. The Democratic Party may have gotten what they set out to get, which was the vote of record number of Generation Z coming out to vote, record number of millennials coming out to vote. I hadn't thought of that. And by the way, where's the postmortem for the elections that mentions that? Because I think you're striking on something there. Do you think he'll try to do this again in some other form or fashion? Or do you really think that was just about the elections and they're going to move on from this now?
I think they'll keep talking about it, but I think they're mostly going to move on. It reminds me of the mortgage moratorium that they tried to do. You know, Justice Kavanaugh explained that it was unconstitutional. Joe Biden acknowledged that. And the president said, well, by the time it gets to the Supreme Court and they actually rule on it, the moratorium is going to be over anyway, so let's just do it anyway. And the same thing held true with the student debt relief. They'll still talk about it because it's a good campaign issue. A lot of young people would like to see their debts wiped out. Unfortunately, then they would fall on the backs of the taxpayers and those who either paid off their college loans, paid their school up front, or didn't even go to college. And it's unfair to all the students that are actually coming into college because it wouldn't apply to them either. So it really was an election gimmick, and it appears that it worked, unfortunately. And I think that if we want elected officials, each one should have to pass a constitutional test before they actually get inaugurated and sworn in.
Wow, that's so interesting. Yeah, it is like the Dreamers promises they've made, you know, over the years. Oh, we're going to give, you know, Dreamers a path to citizenship. Nancy Pelosi and those guys have been promising that to these kids for, since 2010 and 2011 with zero plan to actually deliver on that. But it does make for some great rhetoric out there and it does win them some votes, sad to say. So that could be what's going on here. You talk a little bit about companies now dropping college degree requirements. And this is really quite stunning to see companies saying, you know what, if you want to come work for us, you don't necessarily have to have a college degree anymore. What is this about?
Well, I wrote a piece for Campus Reform about how a lot of companies are waking up to the fact that students are simply being cycled through the system. Not based on merit, not based on achievement, but they're being pushed through from grade level to grade level and pushed throughout college to get a piece of paper. But they don't really have the work ethics, the professional experience necessary in the workplace. They don't know how to interact with their coworkers. that a lot of the degree programs are offered in a few four-year university system. A lot of them are kind of useless when we look at them. And so the companies say, we need people that are actually functional in the workplace and productive in the workplace and don't have a grievance in regards to anything. And I think with the indoctrination that takes place, they've decided, you know what? Maybe it's better if we just grab these people out of high school and train them ourselves rather than have them go through a university system.
Yeah, that is an interesting prospect, and maybe put them through, you know, vocational training of some sort. Yeah, that is an interesting prospect. Well, tell us a little bit about the campus reform work you do at the Higher Education Fellowship that you're in.
Well, everyone can go to campusreform.org. I mean, the reality is our education system collapsed long ago, and people are starting to wake up to that fact. And we need to reform the education system from K through 12 to the university system because it's not working. And as the superpower of the world, spending $1.4 trillion a year on education, far more than any other country, it's pathetic that we rank 25th in actual education. We need to create students that could think critically about the issues, that could problem solve, that understand what reasoning and logic is. And unfortunately, that's not what we're producing. So campus reform is doing phenomenal work trying to reach the masses and understand that if we want this country to survive, it starts with the education system.
Yeah, it sure does. Well, we're talking with Nicholas Giordano. He's a professor of political science at Suffolk Community College. I keep getting tripped up on that word because where I'm from, it's pronounced totally differently. So my apologies there. Nicholas, tell us a little bit about your podcast, the PAS Report podcast. What does PAS stand for?
Politics, analysis, and strategies. Yeah, as a political science professor, I try and break down the issues. You know, a lot of issues we face, there's a lot of complexities to them. There's a lot of gray areas. And rather than oversimplify it like most of the media outlets try and do, I provide a real analysis on what's happening and then provide solutions to how we actually tackle some of the major crises we're facing in America.
Wow, great stuff. Well, where can everybody find you? Where can they find the podcast? And how can they follow you on social media?
They can go to campusreform.org. They could also go to PASReport.com or at PASReport on most social media outlets.
All right. Thank you so much, Nicholas. We appreciate you dropping in here on this Friday morning. And Merry Christmas, if we don't talk to you before
then. Merry Christmas to you as well. And thank you for having me on.
Oh, you bet. Thank you so much. Nicholas Giordano there, political science professor and podcast host, and also doing some great work over at Campus Reform. Well, boy, a lot to unpack there. Companies no longer saying you have to have a college degree. Remember all of us who worked for
that? That makes me feel
that.
Good. Yeah. I just paid for college.
Exactly.
I'm still paying for college.
You know what?
Exactly.
I think there is some good to that. I don't have a college degree. Yeah. I got my first job as an internship.
And you're the smartest person in this
room. No, far from it. But I went to a trade school to learn about radio, and then I went back to college. But I was my degree that I was going for when I went back was for a history degree because I was thinking if I couldn't make it in this business, I'd fall back and be a teacher. And then I never completed my degree because I started getting jobs in radio and just one went to the other and went to the other. So I don't have a college degree. And it's funny because I have a kid who's in college first year. He started in September. And, you know, he's already come to me after, you know, 3 months in. He's paying for it himself. He's going to community college and he's paying for it himself. You know, and he's saying, I'm not sure if this is what I want to do. And I said, you know what? You're not in a unique situation. There's a lot of kids your age that don't really know what they want to do. And I think that there should be other alternatives available to kids. One of my friends who was going to go to college, his kid was going to go to college, ended up going to a trade school, learned all about HVAC, and he's now working as an air conditioning and heating guy, and he's learning other skills, and he's in the union now, and now he's making, you know, a top wage.
And he could probably start his own business someday.
Definitely.
20, he's 21 years old. He's turning 21, and the kid is making money hand over fist. But a lot of these jobs where requiring manual labor or requiring you to go to a trade school learning a skill and stuff, a lot of these kids, either it's not being presented to them when they're getting out of high school, or it's frowned upon as being, well, it's not that great a job. You can make very good money.
Foolish.
Right.
Yeah, but you have to work. It's not, you know, it's not a cakewalk where you're not doing anything and you're getting paid six figures. You really have to work for your money. But you know, at the end of the day, and we need more of those people. We need electricians, plumbers, mechanics.
Right.
You're not going
more
to
than the, you need a marketing manager or social right. media
well,
manager.
Well, that's it. I tried to tell my right. son that, like, when your car breaks down, you're not going to the IT guy to get it fixed. Although at some point you might, because everything's run by computers. But right now, true, the mechanic true. Is the guy that you're going.
But
to.
But you say you don't need a social media manager if your car breaks down. You don't know how to get in touch with anybody. You get That's your social right. media manager to go on
it's
Facebook
true.
And say, anybody know a mechanic?
Well, I had to explain to my son how AAA works. Like, we gave him a card and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, look, if the car breaks down, well, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, you call this number. You give them the information.
By the way, a magical guy shows up with a magical gas can.
Right. There's an app for it. You can just put in all your information on the app. And you know, they show up. It's like, but these are things that, you know, we learned growing up from our parents or whomever, and it's skills that are lost among these kids now.
Yeah, it's true. My nephew went to college last year, and same thing. He was kind of like, what is this? You know,
right.
what am I doing here? And there is a pandemic, hate yep. to use that word, there's a pandemic of young male college students just totally dropping out of college because, first of all, it's an extremely woke environment to walk into as a white male. You know, young male, it's a tough environment.
And if you've never lived on your own before either.
That's true. That's
a total culture shock
right.
for
people. But you're told by these, you know, feminazi professors that you're scum of the earth and you have to apologize for who you are.
Right.
And it's not the most hospitable place. And so there's this whole generation of young men that are dropping out. And anyway, it's a tough situation. You know who's not dropping out, though, is Janelle Crispin, who's here to give us an update on traffic.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Slow ride on the east side. The FDR Drive southbound into 34th Street. There's a crash. Right lane is blocked. Stop and go traffic back to 96th Street. Now the GW Bridge inbound on the upper deck, a 5 to 10 minute delay. No waiting on the lower deck. Outbound on the upper deck, there's road work blocking the right lane on the ramp from the Henry Hudson Parkway. Cross the span and the left lane on the ramp to the Palisades Parkway. That's in place until about 1:30 this afternoon. You're fine in and out of town at the Lincoln Tunnel. No problems at the Holland Tunnel if you use the Turnpike approach. There's a 15 to 20 minute delay from 1 in 9. 440 southbound into the Turnpike. We've got a crash and some heavy traffic as a result. And also on the Belt Parkway eastbound into Flatbush Avenue, an accident. One lane is closed and slow going on the Van Wyck southbound Horace Harding Boulevard down to Atlantic Avenue and northbound Linden Boulevard up to Atlantic Avenue. Extra slow. Alternate side of the street. Parking rules in effect. You now know where not to go. I'm Janelle Crispin. Lito Piscopo, AM 970, The Answer.
Born on America's darkest day of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member does not come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays the mortgage on the family home to lift the financial burden and bring stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, giving our most severely injured heroes the ability to live more independent lives. Through our veteran homelessness program, Tunnel to Towers is providing housing and services to homeless veterans across America. More than 500 in 2022 alone, because all veterans who honorably served our country, whether in peacetime or war, deserve our nation's gratitude. People who put their lives on the line for our country and our communities need your help now more than ever. Please help America's heroes and their families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. It's T, the number 2, and then T.org.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. I want to talk to you about a great family tradition in celebrating the birth of Christ right here in the middle of New York. In fact, at Carnegie Hall on December the 15th at 7:30 in the evening, imagine yourself singing Christmas carols with Keith and Kristen Getty, a big choir, and 2,000 of your best friends here in New York. The Gettys just got their first Grammy nomination, and they're going to have Grammy winner Ricky Skaggs joining them. And then it's going to be an evening of worship and Christmas caroling with Celtic, bluegrass, classical, and modern music all wrapped up in a vibrant celebration of Christmas. Sing an Irish Christmas at Carnegie Hall December 15th. Learn more at GettyMusic.com/NYC. That's GettyMusic.com/NYC.
In Christ
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or odyssey.com.
Hey, Joe on the radio, and I want to tell you about Invite Health. And I got to tell you, a great company, and they know about wellness. And we want you to go to invitehealth.com. Check it out, please. Invitehealth.com. You can call 800-673-2345. 800-673-2345. I love folks like Steve who understand wellness. That's what I'm talking about. And they can give you a personalized approach to health. You can check out their super premium nutritional supplements, podcasts, radio shows, free nutritional consultations. Plus, take an additional 10% off your order. Use the code 970 at invitehealth.com. It's 800-673-2345, invitehealth.com. Don't forget, Amanda is great, Dr. Amanda Williams. Now, you don't want to miss Invite Health Radio. It's with Amanda Williams, right? And she is the scientific director of Invite Health. And so she knows what she's talking about. Has a great show. It's right here on AM 970, The Answer, every Monday through Friday at 12 noon.
It's the AM 970 Weather Answer Forecast.
Mostly sunny today, the high 46. For tonight, a clear sky early, then increasing clouds, the low 43. Cloudy, windy, and milder tomorrow with periods of rain into the early afternoon, the high 57. Sunshine, brisk, and chilly on Sunday, the high 43. I'm meteorologist John Woodward on AM 970, The Answer.
Mike Gallagher is next on AM 970. The Answer.
Welcome back to the Joe Piscopo Show. Jen Kearns and the guys sitting in for Joe Piscopo today, and we appreciate you being on board with us on this Friday, and hope you have some fun plans to do some holiday shopping, but according to Hillary Kramer, not too much shopping before the doom and gloom of your January credit card comes due.
I have a friend who works in retail. I won't mention the store that she works for, but she runs two different stores, one in Jackson and one in Freehold in New Jersey. And she said, I don't know what recession is going on. The stores have been jammed. There are people coming in left and right, spending all kinds of money. And the products that she sells are not cheap by any stretch of the imagination. So it's...
People well, this year
money.
We saw record shopping on Black Friday. I think it was something like 200,000 people.
Yeah, and Cyber Monday as well.
Yeah.
And boy, it is interesting. One of two things is going on. It might be the fact that people are still gainfully employed. Like the jobs number that came out today is amazing to Joe Biden's credit, or I think it's more to the American people's resilience and credit. But, you know, nearly 300,000 jobs added in November. And yes, there are talks of layoffs looming, but for the most part, people feel fairly secure. Or the other thing is people want to just throw caution to the wind because they know dark times are coming. And I think that could be part of it, too. Yep. If you feel like spending this weekend, please feel free to check out my book, my new book at TheRealWarOnWomen.com. We talk about how the Democrat Party policies, not Republicans, are actually the ones engaging in the war on women. Well, thanks, guys, for letting me sit in this morning for Joe Piscopo.
Thank you.
Good luck, Joe Piscopo, tonight with your performance, your show in New Jersey. And he'll see you back here on Monday.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.